Chapter 8, End of This Age and the Return of Christ. During the mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit, by vision and prophecy, we were repeatedly warned that the end of the present age and the return of our Lord is at hand. The Holy Spirit made this great climax at the consummation of the present age so vivid and real that no doubt was left in any of our minds that the Lord God was bringing last and supremely important messages to His people. The Scripture teaches that the great present age will end in the greatest tribulation the world has ever seen, and that immediately after that tribulation, the Lord will return to destroy the wicked and reward the righteous. The Scriptures also teach that this age will reach its climax at its end, in the harvest when the tares will have reached full fruition, and when the wheat will have passed from the leaf and the blade to the full grain in the ear. When both the wheat and the tares are ripe, the angels will come with the Lord to gather the harvest and to separate the wheat from the tares. In other words, when the kingdom of the devil is at its worst, and the kingdom of God on earth is at its best, in its purest form, the evil ripe and the good ripe, then will come the harvest. The Bible further teaches that evil will reach its climax in the incarnation of the devil, in control of a demon-deceived and tormented world, and that this devil-possessed world ruler, the Superman, will be destroyed by the Lord at His coming. There may be those who take exception to the above remarks, but without detailed discussion of these matters, I will relate, as best I can, the visions and revelations given to Dullum children, who knew little or nothing of the theology involved. Pestilence and wars. Time after time, they spoke in prophecy, saying that a time of famine, pestilence, war, and desolation is coming, and that it will be attended with persecution of the people of God, whom He will especially equip and protect in this crisis. One boy saw our school teacher trying to buy a measure of rice. So great a crowd surrounded the granary that the teacher could only hope for success in making his purchase by pushing with the crowd. Only one measure of rice could be bought by each man. In vision, one ignorant, uneducated boy was transported to our civilized lands and saw the peoples getting ready for war, making bombs, cannons, and implements of destruction. The coming of the devil and his incarnation in the Antichrist was prophesied many times, as well as seen in vision. Visions of the devil and Antichrist. The children saw the dragon, the devil with seven heads. One boy saw angels fighting with him, and seven of his angels. The devil and his angels were overcome and flung out of heaven to earth. Adullam boys saw the Superman the world is wishing for, the great subject of worship that Buddhism, Theosophy, Mohammedanism, and other religions expect. In him they saw the devil incarnated as a handsome, strong man, in the beauty and strength of young manhood. They also had visions of the image that in due season this God-defying Antichrist will erect, according to prophecy, as an object of worship, the image that will be able to speak and to deceive the world. I asked how they knew this handsome man of power was the Antichrist. They said that a host of demons followed him everywhere, obeyed his every command, advanced at his word, and halted at his order. This Antichrist was also seen upon a plain as a beast with seven heads. Again I asked how they knew this was the Antichrist, and the children said the angels told them. I have already explained that, as to John, these revelations were given through angels when the children were in the spirit, in a trance, and that, like him, they carried on conversation with the angels, and by these heavenly messengers were told the mystery of many things they did not understand themselves. The saints under persecution. During the reign of this Superman in his God-defying power, the saints of God were standing true and bearing faithful testimony in spite of every hardship and every danger. They saw the two witnesses in Jerusalem, and they saw the saints, as well as these two, endued with mighty supernatural power to fight with and to resist the power of darkness in that awful time, the like of which has never been upon the earth, the time when the devil and all his angels and demons will be turned loose upon the earth, having great wrath, knowing their time is short. During this time, when no one but a true spirit-filled saint could stand for a day against such satanic power and supernatural satanic miracles and manifestations, the children saw the saints filled with the still greater supernatural power of their God, the spirit of Him who is greater than he that is in the world. They had visions of preaching the gospel in the midst of great persecution, but they were given such power that by a word from them, enemies were smitten by plagues or death. This power seemed to issue from within and came out of their mouths. With it they rebuked and slew their enemies. They were exercising the power the Lord had promised his disciples, power to do the works he did and greater works. In some cases, after giving a testimony in a town that rejected them and having left at a distance, fire from heaven descended and destroyed the wicked place, even as Sodom and Gomorrah were swept away. When persecution was bitter, they were sometimes caught away bodily by the Holy Spirit, as was Philip, and as the prophet supposed Elijah had been. 2 Kings 2:16. They were thus by the Spirit carried away to a place of safety. In time of hunger and need, food was miraculously provided. Manna, fruit, and other food. Angels ministered. Strength and boldness were given to bear a fearless testimony. The Christians had power to speak with tongues in the languages of strange and unevangelized tribes. When in vision the boys or girls were thus preaching in the Spirit, we ourselves could see how this might be true. For while one speaker preached to the people of a strange language whom he saw before him, another interpreted for him. 1 Corinthians 14:28. Both spoke in other tongues. One spoke a few sentences, then the other interpreted. They were preaching to some of those of every tribe and language. John saw an angel flying in heaven with the everlasting gospel to be preached to all tribes and tongues just before the fall of Babylon the Great. He also saw a great multitude no man could number, people of every tribe and language, who had washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and had come out of great tribulation. Must it not be in accord with Scripture that as the children saw in these visions, the gospel will be preached, again under angelic ministration, in the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit in a supernatural way, far exceeding that of the early church in the days of its persecution? May it not be that the harvest outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the latter rain, will far exceed the seed time outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the former rain, the outpouring on the day of Pentecost? The final world war. At the conclusion of the final testimony of the most perfect and supernatural church the world has ever seen, in the midst of the greatest persecution by the greatest concentration of satanic demonical power and devil-controlled human power that any age on earth has ever experienced, the Adullam children saw the Antichrist, the Devil Man, the Superman, world leader, marshaling his forces for the final world war of this age. They also saw the war in the spirit realm. In this they saw a man on a white horse, leading his army of angels dressed in white. They also saw a rider on a red horse, the rider dressed in beautiful dark-colored array and followed by his host of demons in black. Some visions of the war on earth were also seen. Children saw battleships destroyed by bombs thrown from airplanes, and they saw the ships with all aboard enter their watery grave to be seen no more. Armies were seen gathered from all the earth, engaged in the great and terrible struggle. The children watched the awful battle. Poison gas and deadly instruments of war slew their victims in countless numbers. At first the dead were buried, but later the slain, being so many they could not be taken care of, were piled in heaps or left to decay as manure upon the face of the earth, as the prophet has foretold. In the midst of all these things, everything was interrupted by the sudden return of Christ. The sun became dark and the moon red like blood. The stars fell in showers. The heavens shook and seemed to roll together as a scroll. There was a great earthquake that rent the earth asunder. Great crevices opened and people were swallowed alive. Buildings were shaken down, collapsing like children's toy houses, killing and burying the inmates. While these things in heaven and earth were taking place, the Lord appeared in the heavens. Old and young, rich and poor, were overcome with deadly fear. They fled in every direction in wild confusion. Men fled from their shops empty-handed, without a thought of their valuables that a few moments before had seemed of great importance. Families rushed from their homes, without even a glance back upon the luxuries that had been their life passion. In one moment, all men became one in purpose. They had only one desire. They sought only one thing. That one desire was to flee from the face of the returning judge. They sought only a place of refuge, to hide from the visible King of Kings. Some who were not killed by falling houses, or who did not tumble into the opened earth, tried to flee to the mountains for safety. Some leaped into the rivers and perished. Some slew themselves with their own weapons. Everywhere was wailing and shrieking. Everywhere was riot and terror. Anything to escape from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath was come. After this, there were visions of the great supper of God, where the beasts and birds were bidden to eat the unburied dead that lay scattered over the ruined earth. Dogs and wild animals were seen feeding on the carcasses of men. Birds and scavengers of the air joined in this supper prepared by God. While the boys were witnessing this great feast, we could hear their remarks and see their movements as the scene was described and acted out before us. One would say, "Look at that eagle eating that rich fellow. See it picking his fancy clothes from his body. Look at that. It has taken a piece of his flesh and flown away." Another said, "Oh, look over there. A vulture and a crow both eating at that man. The vulture has the most courage. He just picks and picks away, gorging himself, never taking time to look up. But the crow is afraid. He takes a bit and looks around to see if he is in danger. Aya! Do you see that? Look at the birds standing on that well-dressed fellow and digging into him." Then the boys suddenly, with one accord, wheeled around with their backs toward the repellent scene, while their remarks, as well as their motions, made it clear enough the sort of abhorring scenes that will characterize the final feast of the earth. Here will be the rich and mighty, the captains of the earth, the captains of industry, the captains of wealth, the captains of war, and the captains of all Christ-rejecting enterprises and religions. They will not be there as honored guests, but as the food for the scavengers of the earth, over which they have lived in selfish luxury. Thus the Adullam children have already seen and described in terrible reality the culminating scenes of our boasted material civilization. They have seen the fruit of godless sowing and the answer to the question of our Lord, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" The word of God says, "All the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell." These simple children believe without a doubt, because they have been shown by God and the angels what is also written in the word of the Lord, that the climax and consummation of the present world, with its human systems of education and its boasting and wealth, will be the great supper of God, where the flesh of the dead will be more of a prize than will be the splendor and culture that is now the pride of the living. The Antichrist bound and the devil cast into the pit. The children saw the Lord and his angels bind the Antichrist hand and foot, preparatory to casting him alive into hell. There were visions also of the devil taken alive to the mouth of the pit. A box-like lid was lifted up, and he was cast down into the black, well-like shaft of the abyss. The lid was shut down, and the Lord locked it with a great key. The descent of the Lord and the last trumpet. We have written of the visions of the return of Christ as related to the wicked. There were equally clear visions relating to the saints. Adullam saw the heavens open, and the Lord descend in glory, attended by his angels. On either side and following the Lord was this great army of attendants in white. Those in front blew beautiful trumpets, as with the blast of trumpets the Lord and his army descended in perfect order, every one keeping in his proper place and rank. As the Lord thus descended toward the earth, there were wonderful visions of the resurrection and rapture of the saints. Graves burst open as from an explosion. Bodies came out of the graves and were suddenly clothed upon by the heavenly tabernacle of the resurrection glory life. In some cases, bones were seen to come together, as the children expressed it in Chinese idiom, one bone from the east and one from the west. These scattered bones, having become clothed with flesh and transformed into the resurrection body, were called up to meet the Lord in the air. One boy saw a funeral procession where a Christian was being carried to his burial. On the way to the burial ground, the trumpet sounded, the Lord descended, the coffin opened, the dead sat up, arose transformed, and descended into the air. I've already told how our children had visions of some of our Adullam people already dead and now in heaven, clothed in white and enjoying paradise, and of their seeing the saints of old clothed in white. The scripture teaches that between death and the resurrection, the saints have spiritual bodies, and that the saints are clothed in white before the time of the resurrection. When I cross-questioned the children as to how they knew whether the saints they saw in heaven had been resurrected or not, they said they did not know until the angels told them that they saw only the souls of the saints and that their bodies had not been resurrected. I questioned and cross-questioned in some of these matters and always got a uniform testimony. The children always saw the saints in white. The saints never had wings. All of the angels had wings. There was no difficulty in distinguishing between saints and angels. In summary, then, Adullam saw the saint in white, now in heaven, with access to paradise, and enjoying the fellowship of Christ and the angels. They saw the descent of the Lord with all his holy ones, all his angels, at the sounding of the last trumpet. They saw the resurrection and transformation of the bodies of the saints and their ascent into the air. They also saw the marriage supper of the Lamb. Great tables were spread in paradise in the midst of his magnificent trees, its wonderful flowers with enchanting fragrance, its glorious birds of every plumage that sang their carols of praise, where all redeemed animal and vegetable creation was one harmonious, spirit-filled, God-praising whole. Here, then, in this indescribable paradise of God in open spaces, were spread the tables for the great marriage supper. Angels and the glorified saints skipped about everywhere playing harps, blowing trumpets, singing and praising the Lord. Some of the children acted out these scenes before us. They hurried to their jewel-bedecked home to get their harp or trumpet and join the spirit-inspired music of the greatest of all festival scenes, the climax of all the hopes of the ages. Great companies sang and danced and praised the King. Others hurried about preparing the tables or the seats and carrying the golden dishes of food. There was abundance of food, everything having flavor of its own, exceeding anything that could be imagined. When all was ready, the call was sent forth, and the saints of all past ages gathered around the tables to celebrate the wedding of the King's great son. The consummation of all their hopes, the realization of all highest joy in heaven itself, came to its highest point when the harlot, the beggar, the sinner, and the one-time offscourings of the earth came from the east and the west and sat down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at this festal table in the kingdom of God. As all arose and expectantly reached its greatest height, the Son himself came in and sat down at the tables, surrounded by his blood-bought and white-robe-clad bride, the redeemed of every nation and tribe and tongue, and drank with them the fruit of the vine. Adullam saw the books opened and the day of judgment. They saw the books in which the deeds of men are recorded, and saw the judge upon the throne, before whom all men were judged out of the books. The righteous were set apart to stand in one great company on the one side, while those whose names were not in the book of life were gathered into another great company to stand on the other side. The one company was separated to enter the kingdom of God and the life of the ages. The other group was doomed to go into the fire prepared for the devil and his angels. A few were privileged to have visions of the new heaven and the new earth. The new heaven was so filled with Shekinah glory that the children could not carefully look into it. The New Jerusalem, the city four square, occupied the central position in the new earth. They saw the celestial city with its paradise as it is now, but descended upon the new earth. The whole new earth was much like the paradise that is now and will then still be in the city of God, the bride of the Lamb. It was the earth God wanted for his children, more than restored by him who is more than conqueror. It was the new heaven and the new earth that had passed through the new birth and that will never pass away. The earth where God will again pitch his tent with men, where he will forever be called their God, and they shall all and always be his children. Amen.